February 12, 1979, Subcommittee 2, Room 350, 1:30 p.m., work session on House Bills 2011 and 2137. Hearing and possible work session on House Bills 2189 and 2206.
House Committee on the Judiciary will come to order. The clerk will note those members present. The balance are excused. The first item on the agenda for public hearing is House Bill 2189. And I would call at this time Representative May Yu.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I'm Representative Mayhew from District 36. I'm testifying in support of an amendment to House Bill 2189, which would add a second district court judge in Linn County. Included with my testimony are letters from the Linn County Bar Association and the Linn County Board of Commissioners. In Linn County, the caseload filing per judge for 1978 was 18,183 cases, the second highest in the state, and only 400 cases behind DeSue County. Furthermore, Linn County District Court has more than three times the cases pending as DeSue does. Now there are 5,454 cases pending, some for as long as 6 months to 1 year. Minor traffic cases are not being calendared until June or July. Justice can scarcely be served by long delays and overworked courts. This delay can be expected to get worse if the filing trend established last year continues. Filings increased last year by 6,355 cases, a staggering increase of 53.73% in 1 year. Hiring pro tem judges is no longer a solution given a problem of this magnitude. Some concern has been expressed that the need for a second district court position was created by the closing of a justice of the peace court in Sweet Home. This is not true. The number of cases filed per judge, 18,183 cases, does not include the 3,000 additional cases the Justice of the Peace Court would have handled had it continued in Sweet Home. The need for the Second District Court position clearly exists independent of these JP cases, given the trend of increasing case filing. By giving Linn County a Second District Court judge, the legislature will be providing essential justice services. I urge you to adopt my amendment.
Questions to the witness? Thank you. Excuse me, ma'am. Could you come back? We have a question.
I do have a question, ma'am. Sorry. And this is a question that I assume that Representative Byers and Senator Powell might be interested in addressing too. We have from you a letter from your county commissioners. They're talking about they're favoring you. One of the things that we're concerned about, of course, is who finances the court and for how much. Do you suppose the county commissioners would want this judgeship even if the state were not able to fund it fully?
I think there's a need for it, and I haven't discussed the funding with them. Perhaps the county commissioner's legal counsel will have an answer for this. Ed, do you have an answer for this?
I'd like to come up, please, and state your name for the record.
My name is Ed Schultz. I'm the County Council for Linn County Board of Commissioners. And in response to Representative Pohlmeier's question, I think the answer is yes.
that you prefer, even if it came to the question of county
comes to it. But historically, 2 years ago, the application was made to have a second district court judge. At that time, the Board of Commissioners took the position that they were opposed to it because they did not know if they had available space to operate a court system. Right after that request was made during the budget process, money was set aside in 77-78 county budget to undertake a space study within the courthouse to determine if there was available means. That study has been completed, and it does address the creation of a second district court courtroom favorably, and money is available in the budget to construct that courtroom. And, it's my understanding that they do want the court, regardless of whether or not they pick up the funding.
Mm-hmm. And this court's a very different position than 2 years ago when the county commissioners did not support the creation of court. So I just want to satisfy myself with respect to the fact that this has been something studied and they're now affirmatively enthusiastic or eager for.
It is. If you wish, I could supplement your record with a written statement answering that question directly from the Board of Commissioners.
Further questions for the witness? The witnesses? Thank you. Upton Byers?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I am Representative Bud Byers, District 37. And I come in opposition to the proposed amendment to House Bill 2189. I have concern in adding the expense of the Second District Judge and related costs in Linn County. The Linn County District Attorney some 2 years ago had directed the police officers in areas of Linn County not to cite cases to the Justice Court. This is Lebanon, I know of for sure. I'm not positive about police only some of it. The Linn County Commissioners earlier this year abolished two justice courts. The Free Home Court abolishment was immediate, and the Harrisburg Court will run only as long as the current JP holds the post. I appreciate the fact that the load of the district court is heavy, but I hate to have the state to be placed in the position of pulling the commissioner's chestnuts out of the fire. I'm aware that the current district judge has a heavy backlog of cases. Judge Lewis is a careful and methodical judge who does not move cases as rapidly as a previous judge. However, this, I think, is a plus for this judge. I have deep concerns with people in eastern and southern Linn County, as it would now and later, in some cases, be necessary to travel to Albany to appear. This is not only costing people the additional time lost, but the energy to make those trips. I believe the commissioners should have considered this before their decision to abolish the JP court. The people in the concerned areas were not notified before the meeting, so the commissioners went ahead and held a meeting, abolished those JP courts, without anyone being there to protest at the time. The citizens of Sweet Home did come at a later date and attempted to get the commissioners to reverse their decision. But to this time, they had not done so. And I really have some deep concern about this way of doing business. They only created more of the additional workload. Now, at some point along here, they can tell me and show me that maybe there's some justification. I might reverse my decision on this. But as it stands right now, I just feel that the way it was handled was very improper, and they've just created more workload. It's true that 2 years ago, the commissioners did oppose, and I think we got the story. It was pretty straight here that they were concerned about the facility for having that room for the additional judge. And it's true, they have now, I think, they're planning a renovation there, and they have budgeted for the additional courtroom. But, and I just heard something new. I wasn't aware of the fact that the county might be willing to go ahead and pick up the cost
if in fact the state doesn't approve and the cost for the additional judge. Mr. Chairman, that's pretty well to take care of my
issue. I got one question, Bob, and that is that May has said, or Representative Steve has said, that there would have been 18,183 cases, which is a pretty high case filing, and that would not include the cases that the JP would have handled. And it sounds to me like you need the JP back and the additional district court.
Well, I would. The only way I would ever consider, at least even if we go back to the or adding the other judge, is if those people get some kind of service in those communities, they might be able to arrange something. But I hard put to understand why a man that was duly elected in that office, and just prior to his being sworn into office, then the commissioners met without ever warning those individuals up there and saying there's no longer a justice court in Sweet Home. And the one in Harrisburg will run out late, in, I think, 4 years. There had been attempts not too many years ago to abolish the one in Lebanon. It happens now that there was a new JP elected over there, and he happens to be an attorney. Some of the problems, I think, arose because some of the justice chiefs were not attorneys, but that one in Lebanon does happen to be.
Any questions for witness?
No. Yeah. But I guess I wasn't aware that you've had the problem with phasing out of the justice of the peace. Was this a, I guess you're saying this is a decision that occurred very quickly and presumably without very much advance public notice?
It happened with no advance public notice in Sweet Home. The justice of peace had just been elected. He was going to be sworn in. They wanted to get it done before he was sworn in. So the commissioners put it on their agenda and held a meeting and abolished it. And then the Sweet Home people came in with petitions and a pretty good strong effort at that time to try and get the commissioners to reverse their decisions, which they have not.
But this is a recent decision.
Yes, it was done since the first year.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
What reason was cited for abolishing the justice court?
Well, the chairman of the board of commissioners had given several of them that I think that he thought it was an inefficient court, that they hadn't, the fines had not been adequate. I think he had a number of things that he felt that gave him justification or gave the board of commissioners. And by the way, that passed with a 2-1 vote out of 3 members. It was 2 people voted to abolish it, 1 voted against it.
Any further questions for Representative Beavis?
Didn't we have Representative Byers last year a consideration of an additional judge in Linn County, and we put it aside at the request of the commissioners?
Correct. Yeah. At least it was put aside. Yes. And the commissioners did at that time oppose it because of it. They didn't they didn't have the facility to provide this.
Yeah, that's right. There was some discussion like that, Mr. Chairman. And now conditions are drastically different, I would gather, and they've turned around 180 degrees and are now asking for one.
Yes, that's correct.
Plus, you have the controversy over the JP.
Yes.
Further questions from the witness?
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Powell? You didn't mean to
no, that's fine.
Try to, but
I know where I'm at, and I appreciate myself.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm John Powell, representing Senate District 19, Linn and Benton County. Chairman, members, I take the opposite position of Representative Byers, but for the same reason, and that is service to the people of Lebanon's Sweet Home area. I think a second district court is needed in Linn County, regardless of the outcome of the justice of peace issue. I think the statistics are clear that that's the case. Not all cases can be handled by justice of the peace, as you well know. There are many limitations on what a justice court can do as opposed to a district court or a circuit court. So, many of the cases that people in Lebanon Sweet Home would be involved with simply could not be cited into a justice court simply because the justice court was there. Although it is a matter of great controversy currently in that county as to the method and to the philosophical disposition of those courts. I think that it's solely a local issue. I don't see it as my role as state senator from that area to deal with that issue. I think the Linn County commissioners are going to have to stand by their decisions and either change those decisions or keep their current position and stand on that, just as I have to on the decisions I make that involve state government. And they will either be re-elected, retired, or defeated based on those decisions. So I don't see it my role to get involved in that local dispute. At the same time, because the district courts have to come from here, I do feel it's my obligation to point out that I believe the statistics that have been forwarded to you present a fairly clear indication that that the court is needed, even if the JP courts were reinstated in Hertzberg and Sweet Home. So I think the local issue aside, that I would favor the amendment of adding another court. I would urge a strong recommendation to the Ways and Means Committee, however, to fund it. I think justice is simply not a matter of jurisdictional lines, but simply a matter that should be applied equally and funded as equally as possible throughout the state. So I would hope that the state would fund the court and not simply pass it on, because once we start in that direction, I think you can appreciate what's going to happen when the courts come up in your jurisdiction from time to time. So I would hope that that we could develop a standard approach towards funding the courts. I'd answer your questions if you had any.
Questions for the witness? Let's continue.
Would you favor, Senator, the bill that is somewhere in one of our august bodies that proposes total funding of the court system by the state out of general fund money?
If that is a direction, I think that has to be coordinated with the property tax relief proposals that we finally agree upon. I think that's a part of a good vehicle. I think that's a good direction to go. My fear is that we do not have enough money to do that, plus enough other things to satisfy the taxpayers in the state that we've really done something for them. And so I think that's something we have to maintain as a viable vehicle, but at the same time, I'm not going to dump my eggs in that basket yet, because I'm not sure that's the direction we want to go. But I think that is a real potential vehicle. One of the problems, again, is that our counties are funded so differently that by taking the cost away from local county jurisdiction, for example, by buying out certain costs, would mean something different in Portland than it would in Albany, where we receive a lot of forest funds, or Eugene, and so it means something differently, and that's where I fear it not necessarily being the only vehicle to use.
Are you saying in recommending, because you did somewhere in your comments, you said you wanted to kind of warn us, let's hang on to at least the 50% we now fund with regard to the court system?
Mm-hmm.
So you'd favor at the very least that we, in whether we grant a judge or two judges or however we do this, that we keep the funding at least the way it
is. Yeah. I
think that. Can I continue?
Let's continue.
What's this situation with regard to the JP? To this body, would you rather have the JP reinstated, or?
Well, the just of the peace issue is one that I do not have a lot of individual data on. I know that it's been a controversy for a long time as to the efficiency of those courts. I do know that the people in Sweet Home feel that they've been at the brunt of county services, not over just for the Peace Court, but over many other issues. In fact, you'll recall that I think 2 years ago there was they were trying to form their own county called San Yam County, simply out of frustration that they felt cut off from the rest of the county. And the Justice of the Peace issue, if I were to vote on a gut level feeling, I would vote to maintain them. At the same time, I say that without knowing, as I would if I were to actually make that decision as a counted, not knowing what the record of those courts are, not knowing how efficiently they've operated, that sort of thing. I'm not convinced by the fact that a court does not bring in as much money as it costs, that that's reason for throwing it out. But I don't know. There may be other very justifiable reasons. I do not know that. Again, I say, based on a gut feeling, probably as much Little House on the Prairie type, that justice can be at that level, and maybe best administrator, that's how I feel. But again, I don't base that statement on hard data.
Just
from
Senator, does the district court ever sit at Albany, at Sweet Home, or in Harrisburg, or
there
have been ride the circuit in?
No, as my understanding, they do not currently. However, they are currently negotiating or talking to the city of Sweet Home about that potential. Again, that does not seem to be politically something that is appealing to those who are outspokenly against the disbanding of the JP, but that is currently being discussed, whether or not the district court could in fact travel. As you know now, as a court of record, that court needs a courtroom space and will have to, it'll take some time before I think they'll know, and they are currently under something like a 60-day, I think, search for alternatives to what they might do. I think just reinstatement of the Justice of Peace is one option that is still open to them.
Would the addition of another district court seat make it more or less likely that there might be a sort of a circuit riding kind of thing where a few people in the outlying areas saw a little bit more of their justice system?
I really do not feel qualified to answer that. As I understand it, they're currently considering that with the existing court, regardless of whether they get a second district court. I don't know. If traveling to that extent, and I understand the current district court judge lives in Sweet Home, or at least he did, if traveling means that he can form less overall, then I would think it would probably help. But I don't really feel qualified to answer.
Further questions for the witness?
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Representative Troop, now that we have the amendment, we'll have the bill.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Tom Troop, representing Deschutes County, and I'm with you this afternoon to testify in favor of House Bill 2189. And we do have unanimous support for this bill from the Deschutes County Commissioners, even though it will cost them $40,000. They do want this disposition very badly. At the end of 1972, the total caseload of the court was 5,188 cases. 5 years later, in 1977, the total caseload was 15,927, a 200% increase over that five-year period of time. At the end of 1978, the total was 18,738, up another 18%. The civil and small claims cases have had relatively little effect on the caseload since their total declined 3% between 1972 and 1977. Criminal and traffic cases have shown tremendous gains. In the 5 years between 72 and 77, criminal cases increased 188%. In 1978, criminal cases increased 19% more. From 1972 to 78, traffic cases jumped 374%. On January 1, 1977, the Justice Court in Redmond was closed upon the retirement of Judge Donald Ellis, who had been there for 24 years. A branch office of the District Court was established in Redmond City Hall to handle small claims, traffic, and game cases. Judge Tolliver holds court in Redmond every Thursday evening from 5:30 until 7 p.m. And there was a recent article in the Bulletin outlining this problem and indicating that he worked about 20 to 30 hours a week over the regular 40-hour week. The biggest problem is the growing backlog of cases set for trial by jury. In 1975, the number of jury trials was 59. Primarily because of the impact of the revised traffic code, the number dropped to 46 in 76 and 51 in 77. However, after the Brown versus Multnomah County District Court decision in October 1977, the number of jury trials rose to an all-time high of 73 in 1978. The time lag from filing to trial in jury cases is growing longer. At the end of 1976, the delay was approximately 80 days. By the end of 1978, it was 110 days. This delay grew in spite of efforts to minimize it by oversetting trials 3 to 4 a day and adopting a readiness for trial procedure. None of the above statistics reflect the tickets filed for violation of the snow parking permit law. There were 2,800 filed in the first snow season of this law, 1977-1978. This snow season, the figure of the number of violations has already reached 2,000 and may exceed 3,000. One of the major reasons for this increase in caseload is, as many of you are probably aware, Deschutes County is the fastest growing county in the state of Oregon and has been for 8 years running. And with the statistics and comparing them to other counties, and in the Deschutes County has the highest number of cases per county and per judge in the state, there is a definite need for an additional district court judge in passage of House Bill 2189.
Questions for the witness? Thank you, sir. Did you have questions?
Oh, yeah, but I guess. Well, yeah, I did. Refresh my memory, Thomas, if you would. Did the Oregon Bar Association endorse it?
We will
request
be doing it
from the do you have any way of comparing your caseload figures with those of the average district court in the state?
These are the 77 filings, and Hood River, for example, had in 77 an average of 8,624. Deschutes, again, was 15,927. Comparison to Josephine, 11,447 per judge. Multnomah County, 10,815.
What's the figure for Lane?
I was just looking. Lane, here's at the bottom. Lane is 10,423. And again, we're looking at right at 16,000 for Deschutes County.
Further questions for the witness? Thank you, Judge Beatty.
John Beatty, Circuit Judge, Multnomah County, representing the Judicial Conference. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think Representative Troop has provided you with the basic data for the Deschutes County situation, and all I would add to it is the fact that the Supreme Court has budgeted for this position. The data to which Representative Troop referred does indicate that Deschutes County in 1970, for the full year of 1977, had the highest number of case filings, and that likewise in 1978 that trend is continuing. The complete data for 78 isn't finished. The data for the first three quarters indicates that trend continuing. Presumably, I don't know why we don't have the complete official data. I presume it may be some difficulty in picking up statistics from some counties from which it is difficult to get statistics. In any event, it seems to us that this is justified. I might state briefly for the committee the two primary factors that were used to determine what are the needs of a district for an additional judge are cases filed and cases tried. In the district court, again for statistical reasons, the only factor we have is cases filed. We don't yet have an efficient data collection system providing the cases tried for the district court. But at least on the by what data is available, the Deschutes County request appears to be clearly justified. The only other factor I would observe in passing is the snow ticket legislation is another example of the sensitivity of good measures which are passed, which may have an extraordinary impact on certain jurisdictions in terms of judicial business, and just everybody's got to look out for those things. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Question, we may have talked about this last session again. Do you have at your fingertips a figure that describes the ratio of cases filed versus those that go to trial?
No, and it varies, Representative Dugas, it varies from county to county, depending on the, to some extent, on the mix of business and on
the
nature of the county. As Representative Frommeyer knows, why apparently more circuit court cases are tried in Lane County than in most other counties, percentage-wise, and I'm sure he's better informed on the reasons for that.
Yeah, but he's just barred. Pugnacious barred.
The one other thing perhaps I might give you is that Judge Wharton, who's served as a judge on the Judicial Administration Committee of the Bar, has been working for years trying to devise optimum figures, and his calculation is that when a single-judge district court goes over 10,000 filings, they will generally need outside help. By the time they get to over 12,000, it becomes desirable to bring in an additional judge because the amount of outside time becomes inefficient, and the truth, by his standards, is well over that figure.
Further questions? Thank you. Bob Olson.
Bob Olson for the Oregon State Bar. Mr. Chairman, I don't have too much to add to what has already been said, except to say that the State Bar strongly favors 2189. And Deschutes County was the one county that anticipated their problems, did have a problem, went through the bar's machinery for getting a position. The bar used to, I think, just routinely support all of the requests for judgeships. They don't do that any longer. They have a formula that they go through for analyzing these requests. And Deschutes is the only one, a year ago when the committee was looking at this, the only one that they approved.
Bob, do you know if the Lynn County case was brought to the attention of the bar?
I believe it was not, and the best I can tell, it would have a fairly high justification for an additional district court judge.
But the absence of Lynn County from the bar's recommendation simply means that Lynn County wasn't considered at all.
Because they didn't come forward.
That's right.
That's right.
And you don't have a procedure whereby the bar itself initiates a study into the relative.
Well, the counties have been more than willing to come forth with the request for support. there is a meeting of the Judicial Administration Committee this coming weekend of the bar, and they're going to go into this some more, and they're trying to develop a you know, this ties in with the data problems that exist now, so they're trying to develop a formula, further define their formula for analyzing.
I just know parenthetically that a lot of parents don't go through the bar and bring the question to the legislature. Washington County will be doing that for the later.
There's always been a time problem before.
Yeah.
Too.
Any questions?
Yeah. Okay, dude.
Bob, can I have a copy, and perhaps other members of the subcommittee, of the bar's formula, even though it may be kind of loose in the formula, or is it pretty well worked out?
Well, the criteria they used during the last interim was a combination of case filings for judges and cases tried for judge. And they, after Saturday, they will have some more information, I think, on how that will work.
I don't know how much of the judiciary you watched last session, but we struggled for a long time trying to work out some kind of a, I don't want to offend anybody here, but a matrix to figure out, you know, whether or not a judge is needed to be justified. Because the justifying data that was given to us in a number of different requests varied so tremendously. And I realize there are a lot of different factors. For instance, distance is a very important factor in the Eastern Target. But I can't believe we can't get a little more orderly, at least, in the way in which we judge whether or not you need another judge or of whatever level in a given area. And you can talk about residence population, cases filed, cases to trial, cases handled, you know, the competence of the bar that exists, or the bench that exists, and whether or not there's a DP service, this kind of thing. But it seems to me like we ought to try, you know, it's going to be a perennial or biennial hassle, and this is my second shot at it. We still haven't worked out anything. I'd like to see some kind of a fairly... Even if it's imperfect, some kind of procedure, and I think that's a good step in the right direction. I'd just like to see what the bar has used, if you don't mind.
Could you provide that to our committee?
I'd be glad to do that. I'd prefer to wait until after next weekend when they will have to find that formula.
I would think that would be the proper time after they're taking a best shot.
I know the members of that committee have also indicated in the future they will be prioritizing the request, and that will be helpful too once they have a database.
Any further questions for the witness? Thank you. Is there anyone else here to testify on House Bill 2189? Mr. Farr?
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jack Frost. And for once, I'm here solely in my capacity as district attorney for Lane County. I'm not going to make any long speech, however, I would offer to you that as a district attorney who's worked with the situation down there, maybe I can answer some of the questions that I think I've heard raised before. I'd only say that apart from the JP issue, there's no question in my mind, based upon the statistics we now have and seeing the workload that we deal with, that there is a definite and immediate need for another district judge in Lane County. And I appreciate Representative Dugas' concern. I had the same one 2 years ago. I want to point out to the committee that in the meantime, the judge who had been in office for some 18 years left office. Another man was appointed to the office. Judge Lewis, who subsequently won the election, but there was a contest during the last year. And it only offered to you that partial explanation for why maybe things did not proceed better in the interim about what would be done as to whether there'd be another judge. I think I can say honestly that there was some concern that would be thought of as being a political issue during the time when the campaign was going on, one way or another. I can't really make any apologies for that. I had had my own questions about it 2 years ago on the basis of the workload of the court, but I'm satisfied about that. I can also say, since I'm counsel to the Board of Commissioners, my civil deputy keeps being called county counsel, and that's fine because that's the way we all think of him, but he and I work together in these matters, and it's true that the Board of Commissioners did oppose last time this judgeship, and I think that they gave you the straightest reason that was of their particular concern, and that was that at that time they didn't know where they'd put it. But they have spent the time and the money, as Mr. Schultz has told you, to prepare for this, and they're prepared to do it, and I would agree with his statement to you that they're prepared to do it regardless of the legislature's action on 2001. They recognize that.
The current law on DUIL is no dismissal. That's right. Do you think it would have any substantial effect on case loads if that law was to change to allow dismissals in DUIL? Do you find any artificiality in the number of cases that go to trial because of that?
No, wait a minute. I agreed with you too quickly, Mr. President. Nothing that says you can't dismiss a case. The problem is you can't pre-bargain about it and then dismiss it. So very often the DA is faced, or at least in my office, we're faced with a hard question. We either dismiss it or we go to trial on the charge that we have. And if you don't mind, I'd like to allude to one thing Representative Byers said, and it's true, and I've had you understand it, that I did administratively to the extent that I could change the situation with regard to particularly DUILs being filed in the Justice Court. My reason for that was the law that said, number one, we couldn't pre-negotiate, and number two, that you had a first offense of action, second offense crime. So I took it upon my office to review each DUIL case before it was filed to see whether a deputy of mine was assured at the time of filing that it was an infraction or was a crime. And we saw that the proper documents were filed. In 77, to further facilitate that, I introduced myself a bill to allow us to file DA information rather than the traffic tickets, because we found it was rather cumbersome to decide it was a crime and not an infraction, and then have to call the officer in there to make out a new document. So that was a part of the reason why I established the policy of not filing these major traffic offenses, DUIL, from the JP court. I don't think it's made a great difference in the caseload, because I think most of them came to district court before. I don't have figures for that, but that's my reaction to it. We certainly didn't try many. As a matter of fact, Steve Room inside in the JP court in Sweet Home back in 1974 during the budget hearing in Linn County, I pointed out to Board of Commissioners that neither I nor none of my deputies had appeared in that court for any trial for 10 years, to the best of my recollection. And indeed, after that, we may have appeared three or four times. And then finally, frankly, together with this law and the traffic code and our need to review them and file them, we were more intrigued not to file them up in Sweet Home. The simple fact was, any case filed in Sweet Home, if it was a not guilty plea, I shouldn't say any case. But a great number were not, just never came to trial. I stated in 74 that there were over 400 cases that were pending on a not guilty plea. I couldn't show that. I couldn't see the record. But the audit that came back after we got a hold of the record shows that there are 893 cases pending in that court over a variety of years.
That's the JP court?
Yes. 893, as far as we've been able to figure without counting all the years behind 75. I will probably have to take them on my back to dismiss some 600 or 800 cases due to lack of speedy trial.
I was going to ask. That would seem a little excessive.
So people have said, well, I don't want the JP in Sweet Home because it causes me more work. Ladies and gentlemen, I haven't been there for 10 years, so it hasn't caused me any work. But I talk about trying to improve the system. I guess I'm the culprit. I started by taking this administrative policy for the reason I gave Mr. Mason of seeing them before their file, also recognizing that I didn't want them in jail too, because at least in one or two of them, they weren't coming to trial very fast, if ever. Thirdly, when you go to JP court and try a DUIL, if they want a jury, you can imagine the problem and the trouble of getting a jury in a JP court, plus the fact you go through the whole trial, and if the state loses, I'm sure you're all aware that the defendant is then entitled to a trial de novo in the circuit court. We have a heck of a time even getting the time to be heard in circuit court on an appeal from the JP court, as I suspect you can imagine. For all these reasons, yes, I openly, I've made it clear since 74 that I was not going to have cases that I thought deserved my action and attention filed in JP courts, and I'm not in a position to change my mind.
Further questions to the witness? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here to testify on House Bill 2189?
My name is James Delafour. I'm president of the Linn County Bar Association, and I'd like to also testify in support of the amendment. The Linn County Bar Association took a position on the need for a second district court position 2 years ago, well in advance of the rhubarb developing over the Sweet Home Justice Court. I'd like to point out that the Bar Association has recognized the need for a second court there, completely irrespective of the problems that arise with the Justice Court. We discussed this matter at our February regular Bar Association meeting, and the Bar unanimously voted to support the move for a second district court judge, and we would recommend that to you. It is well needed.
Questions for witness? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'll ask one more time. Is there anyone else here to testify on House Bill 2189? If not, we'll move on to the public hearing on House Bill 2206. I have the sign-up sheet on this bill, and there's no one signed up to testify. Is there anyone here that is here to testify on House Bill 2206?
Can I comment about the bill?
Certainly.
I learned this morning in a meeting I had with Professor Fred Merrill that the subject matter of this bill is also included in the civil procedure rules that have been put before this committee.
Sounds like an excellent candidate for paving. Okay. No one to testify on House Bill 2206. That being the case, we'll close the public hearing.
Mr. Chairman?
What's that for? Mr.
Olson here. You remember the bar? It was.
I think he just stepped out. He didn't think that's the most interesting bill.
Well, we went through that before. When the Oregon State Bar puts in a bill, I assume they want it. And at least ought to have someone from the bar to say how badly they want it if they wanted it at all.
Joan was deputized to go find.
Either that, I don't believe we ought to hold a hearing or a work session unless somebody wants a darn bill.
Okay, do 2136. Okay, we'll wait for just one moment. In fact, we'll take a 5 minute recess. We're in recess. We have a bill here that's sponsored by the Committee on the Judiciary to request the Oregon State Bar, House Bill 2206. So I think it's one of your progeny. Would you like to defend it? Or?
We're for the bill. It's a routine bill, and I frankly didn't know it was going to be up today, so I'm not prepared to testify on the bill. But we're for it, and I've in the past talked to the people on that committee. If there are any questions, I might be able to answer them.
Well, one question is that apparently this is the subject matter of the civil rules of procedure that's now being heard by Subcommittee 3. And you still want us to deal with the bill independent of that?
we have another of our subcommittee meetings tomorrow night, and what I was going to recommend, and like I said, I didn't know this was up today, I looked at the other numbers, and I guess this is one that I didn't have in my book, but there are four other bills related to Council of Court Procedures. And I was going to ask the committee if we could just ask your staff to hold back on those bills until we go through the Council of Court Procedures. Because that would be the appropriate place to consider most of these issues.
I think probably that we will table the bill absent some strong desire to deal with it otherwise, but if there appears to be a strong need to take it from the table, we will.
Okay, will that also be true in the other?
I don't know about the other bills, but this one particularly to me is a strong candidate to table. The question for the witness. Thank you. Okay. We'll now close the public hearing on House Bill on the House Bill that we've had today. We'll move to the work session. First bill up on work session is House Bill 2011. The proposed amendments or redraft?
Yeah, this is the bill that was the one that Mr. Court is concerned about the archives and access to records. And the committee was concerned particularly with Section 3 in the original bill. Okay, maybe it was Section 2 in the original bill. But anyway, the three exceptions to the otherwise general rule is that records would be available after 25 years. That was Section 2 in the original bill. So I was asked to redraft it, making it clear that access to these records that are exceptions would continue under conditions, they would continue to be available under conditions in which they're currently available, under 192.500. Also, I was asked to add student records. So that's subsection 4, section 3. So the change in section 3, subsection 1, these are physical, mental health, psychiatric care, treatment of living individuals. And then the grounds, the specification grounds access to them now, I picked up from 192.500 subsection 2B. 192.500 should be in your book. Because it seemed to me that was just the same kind of record as that in 2B. So the access would be, if public disclosure would constitute an unreasonable burden of privacy, you can't get it, party seeking disclosure has the burden to show, and so on. So up until the records are 75 years old, that would be the criterion for access to.
Okay, so what you're doing is you're just picking up the language and the same standards for disclosure of those records that is presently in the law. Okay.
And subsection 2, records less than 75 years old, which was sealed by court order, that is just taken straight from the bill.
I have a question about that. Under the present law, are those records, are there occasions in which those records can be disclosed? Because the way you have it written here, they're exempt from disclosure,
right?
Period.
I don't think so. Mr. Porter would know better than I couldn't find anything.
Could you just come forward, Mr. Porter, please?
One of the problems that was caused by the passage of 192.500 is the public records act. The records which have historically been available for access were closed by that bill because they were exempt from disclosure. And in the case of these records sealed by court order, the only access to them, regardless of time, that I can find anywhere in the statute give my petition to a judge. And a judge, which means the problem of the court of competent jurisdiction, the custody of them, and the access to such records has been, at best, extremely cumbersome, most often simply denied out of hand.
Well, that may be, but the way this is written, as I read it, there wouldn't be any access to them, period.
There is none now, except in the very first section in section 2, except as otherwise, not the standing order 192.5.
Okay.
Ah.
The way this is written, you cannot get into a sealed court record that's less than 75 years old. There is not any exemption or exception made under this bill to get into such records. Once they are sealed, they are forever sealed, as I read this bill. So 75 years transpired.
Precisely. The intent was to permit the current level of access, but to avoid the necessity of keeping the records closed, even the court working back on the administrative back to the records, all the records more than 75 years old.
I believe that under the current 192.500 of subsections, there is no mention of records sealed by a court order. So when I drafted this, I assumed that access would be under whatever statutory section it's now under, but that would be fairly easy to fix by adding a clause saying except upon petition for a court order.
Yeah, I think we need something here because you're saying in section 3 the following public records are exempt from disclosure. And then you're saying records less than 75 years old, which are sealed by court order, and there's no qualifying language whatsoever. Okay.
Precisely, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry I had overlooked that completely on that.
Okay, that's the question I wanted to answer. Do you want to go on to subsection 3?
Okay. This and the original bill was records of a person still in custody of a state institution. It was felt that that should be changed to include a court or a unit of local government. And then again, I picked up the language from, in that case, subsection D of section 2 of 192.500, because that dealt with records in the custody of corrections, records of corrections division.
Okay. And then subsection 4 is?
Subsection 4 is that to take care of the potential conflict with the 2010, the student record bill, the Buckley Amendment requirements bill.
Right. Okay. What presently is the rule dealing with sealed court records?
There is nothing that appears in 192.500. That pertains to access to sealed court records, Mr. Chairman. To the best of my recollection, the only place that the information appears about the meaning of access to court records is in other specified sections of statute offering such seals. And prior to 1939, for example, there was no law requiring the sealing of adoption records. Prior to 1919, there was no law even permitting. So that the recent enactment of statute that permits sealing of court records is also sufficient. It has in each case included provision for access to such records by the petitioner to report the court of appeal.
Okay, if we included the language in subsection 2, records less than 75 years old, which was sealed by court order, except as otherwise provided by law, that should put us basically in the same level of access as that we presently have, if there is no reference to 192.500. Since Omar, you have a quizzical look on
your face. Yeah, except as otherwise provided by law. Means a statement of tautology. You can do this unless the law says that. but there's no other law on it.
I thought the testimony that he had given us was that other sections of the law dealt with access to records that were sealed by the court and gave access in certain cases. And if that was the case...
Is it crystal clear what the powers of the court are with respect to sealed orders?
If in fact you say unclear what the powers
of the
court are...
What section of ORS is that?
Each individual. The section pertaining to sealing the docket records appears in the the section pertaining to sealing of juvenile offense records of certain types appears in another statute. Records of a major criminal investigation in the city of Portland, I think I'm sure of the state of the criminal investigation, were sealed by the court. Who heard that all records of evidence that are now in the archives should be sealed, period. I can't even open up and see that they were so unaware of people. So that this sort of thing has happened over the years, and the pattern nationwide is very sporadic on access to records which were sealed before the order. The tendency of is that the current court personnel simply assume that the original court had good reasons for it, and they're not going to reopen the issue even 100 years later.
Well, there are specific powers granted in certain cases and other statutes other than ORS 192-500 to the court to open sealed records of the court. Okay.
Just from the point of view of a practitioner, Mr. Chairman, it seems that language such as yours, which is general in nature, is very difficult to deal with. It raises a red flag that there's some other portion of the law, but you don't know how extensive it is. And I don't know what's customary here, but I would prefer to see either a cross-reference or a complete listing of those statutes at this point, which are the exception, unless otherwise covered by law. I should just recite the chapter and verse which we're dealing with. It sends someone hunting through the statute for days and may never cover the total cost.
Of course, the other, to take your task, Representative Smith, is to encumber the bill and leave the possibility of leaving something out.
That's our responsibility, however, I think.
Couldn't we just listing of records and disclose of records? That's why I think we have millions of dollars invested in OLUS here, and I think that's what this is for. So we get a hard copy in a very short time. If the chair is comfortable with this provision, I'll acquiesce. But I don't want to throw any curves at anybody, which we're going to have to work with after the session is over with, and they come to haunt me.
Well, I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other. I think that my language is as good as going through and attempting to list all the statutory provisions that we're talking about.
Mr. Chairman, it is my feeling on this that we're speaking here of records which are exempt from disclosure. There is no requirement, no compulsion to disclose them, but we are not speaking of not providing the language which in fact in itself prohibits disclosure. So it appears to me, at least, that there was no problem since Section 3, the following public records are exempt from disclosure. They are being relieved from disclosure. But we're still not required that they not be disclosed. And in case of these court records, then it is confusing.
I guess that's how you read the word exempt.
That's an anomaly in itself, because all the public records act says is that you must produce the following public records upon demand. It doesn't say that you can't voluntarily produce them if you wish. Public records is not the same thing as to say that they're confidential.
Now, thanks to the reason behind this entire bill, it's going to be that so many custodians have it back. They can be exempt from disclosure, as meaning just that records are closed and it's up to you to prove that you've got somebody else.
Well, that would be a further argument for the language that I have. That's the case. I would feel much better with that language. I certainly don't want to do anything to restrict the access in the public record. Is there somewhere?
Well, I don't object to language as far as it goes. Would authorized by law, though, would be the same thing as, say, a court's own order.
Well,
order has the force and effect of law, but it's not the same thing as the statute.
Or we could say, except it's otherwise provided by other sections of the law enforcement by statute. Except it's provided by statute.
Well, but we want to permit the judge, say the judge who has sealed it, and he's petitioned to unseal it in the same case, even later on.
Well, you have to have some statutory authority to do that, doesn't it?
I don't know, maybe it's in here in power of court.
Well,
I don't know.
Well,
we had something about valid judicial order in there, or by pursuant to valid judicial order. Like, you know,
the chair is open to any language that will satisfy the committee, not cause it to have a special session. Any suggestions?
Read your language.
Well, my language says records less than 75 years old, which were sealed by court order. Okay, so foreign public records are exempt from disclosure, and you could put it, okay, records less than 75 years old, which are sealed by court order, except as otherwise provided by law. I'm not even sure if that says that's cumbersome.
Don't we have a problem here that maybe counsel can massage for us a little bit more?
Okay, do you want to take a look at that, Joan, and we'll come back to that later in the work session. I think the bill is almost there, though. It's getting ready. Okay, thank you for support. Okay, 2137, that is on the agenda, and it's on the agenda by mistake. I had a request to just hold the bill, and I communicated that to counsel, at some point. So with the committee's indulgence, I'd like to pass over that.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
so
as long as the representative of the Labor Department is here, may I make a statement for the record about this bill?
Sure.
So that it may be expedited at the same time.
Sure.
You recall that last time I raised the question as to what public policy justifies the existence of confidentiality in the first place for records of this kind. And the gentleman sitting here came to me and properly talked about what those concerns are. And the main concern is the payroll records, which are investigated by the Labor Department, can have competitive implications and so forth. And I think that is perfectly appropriate. But the language of subsection 3, as you can read, goes well beyond the notion of payroll records to include virtually any darn record of investigation that the Labor Commission wants to make. And it was my view that if the commissioner makes a record about the compliance or non-compliance of a given person subject to labor jurisdiction, or if they make records of conditions prevailing that don't necessarily reflect on an individual wage rate, but rather on what the industry is doing, I think that's public business. I object to a form of non-disclosure statute as broad as the language of subsection 3. So I conveyed that to Labor Department representatives, and we had tentatively thought that if we simply changed it to read that any payroll record obtained or made by the commissioner shall not be open to public, it does satisfy me. Unfortunately, I guess it does not satisfy Commissioner Roberts. My concern, I want to say it now, is that I'm not going to vote for the bill that has a very broad non-disclosure provision of this kind in it. I want limiting language so that the purpose of the confidentiality is related directly to the need for it, rather than blanket authority being given. And I don't intend to support the bill until that limiting language is given.
Okay.
We'll give you a little more time to deal with the Labor Department, perhaps they'll come around to see the wisdom of your position, Representative Mason.
One brief question, Representative, the Labor Department. Is the Labor Department supporting this bill?
No.
Yes, we are in support of this bill with the wording that you have before you today. I think it's briefly speaks to Representative Perlmutter's concern. Any information or reference that we would make about the company would be public information. But the actual payroll records, like you did explain, would then be confidential. If we could say that on June 18th, 1978, Company A was found to be in violation, that record would be public information, but we would not then give out information as to the actual, the way they can payroll information. We are in support of this bill, as it is before you.
Are you supportive of it if we change that to only speak to payroll records being confidential?
I really don't feel it would make... It would be very repetitive, I feel. I don't feel it would change the whole meaning, the whole philosophy of the
OAS
here.
Well, you've taken the position that the need for the confidentiality relates to the payroll records. Okay. Is there something else that you need to keep confidential? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The only records, like I said again, we would be referring to would be the records and payroll records in determining the prevailing wage.
Okay. And if we then say that those records shall be confidential, everything else should be open to the public. You'd agree with that?
Yes.
So if we change the language in the bill to reflect that the only things that are confidential are the payroll records, then you don't have it, you could support the bill.
That should be fine.
Okay. Thank you. Your question?
Yes.
Just to Mason.
Very briefly. ORF 192005 to 192170. What is 192170? Do you have that?
192005 to 192170 pertains to just the maintenance and the custody of public records. It pertains to making copies, it pertains to how you would go about indexing records, the duplication of microfilm services. The change is basically how it's taking and moving it from the maintenance and custody of public records to an actual, to the correct ORA.
Thank you. Any further questions? Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, would I understand you to say you're in favor of the bill as it's amended? I thought I heard you say it was amended, and I didn't attend the first hearing I was asking. So you want the bill just as it's before?
That's how we would support it.
I didn't have a record of amendment. I wanted to do
it. It hasn't been amended yet. Okay, thank you. We'll now move to House Bill 2189.
Mr. Chairman?
Let's confuse it.
That kind of bothers me. I would like to ask the indulgence of the subcommittee to defer action on this at this time until I'd like to contact the commissioners and learn a little more about this controversy. It does seem strange to me that the will of the people having voted for JP being subverted immediately by the commissioners creates a problem that may go beyond what I understood from the brief
didn't take here today. I would take it upon myself to contact these commissioners, try to find out what the reason is. And anything else is not offensive to the rest of the committee before we act on the bill.
Well, I guess, you know, we each have a different opinion as to whether or not the judge for Linn County is or is not necessary. My feeling is that there's probably a need for an additional district court judge and a justice of the peace. And I don't see how, by either passing it or failing to pass it, so whether the Ways and Means Committee would consider it at some future point, how that is going to affect the controversy in Linn County regarding the justice of the peace. If I could see a purpose for your contacting the county commissioners in Linn County, I'd be more than happy to refer action. Do you have one, Mr. Kennedy?
Well, I'd like to know more about what's happening here.
Okay.
But I hear you. Well, I made my request. If I find information that this creates a problem with me, I'll bring it before the full committee or
What I suggest you do is contact them, because I think maybe that would be helpful. This is only a subcommittee action anyway. And I will hold the bill in full committee and not pass that until you've had that opportunity. And we can always take some action in the full committee to amend the bill, to delete something or add something, whatever we have to do. Will that satisfy you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to be easily offended no matter what happens.
Okay. House Bill
2189. Mr. Smith. I move the amendment as presented by Representative
G. Okay. Mr. Smith has moved that House Bill 2189 be amended as presented by Representative G, which is a white sheet that's been handed to you. It says House Bill 2189, 2879, proposed amendments requested by Representative G. Is there a discussion?
No, I guess I'm always a little bit reluctant to vote for justice when I don't find a united legislative delegation from the area affected. And 2 years always causing some problems. I think I'll support it. But I'm not sure that we're going to be helping to solve some of the problems that were called to our attention, such as at least some areas, such as Sweet Home and Lebanon, apparently being left out or not given their full do in the rendering of justice services, and no assurance that the district court is going to be on the search to be some of the time, even if there's another judge. I suppose those are political problems that have to be solved at the county level rather than necessarily here in the committee, but I don't want to make the problem worse rather than helping to address it, and I guess that's what's running through my mind.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Mr. Palmer, and I have some concerns. As I said, it looks to me that I think they probably need the district court judge and the justice to be, at least if one would accept Mr. Smith's testimony. There are 3,000 cases. The 18,000 is notwithstanding the 3,000 the justice of the peace would have heard. And I certainly believe that the justice of the peace do yeoman's work in many cases. On the other hand, you know, I think that the request for the additional judge has been notwithstanding the final objection.
Well, I think we're in the area again to borrow an attitude of my colleague on your left of explaining our vote ahead of time.
Yeah.
But as long as we're in there, Mr. Chairman, I would like to say that I'm confused not only by the perceived political actions in Linn County in the recent past month, but also by this rather dramatic and firm attitude last time. And I realize it was based on the fact that there wasn't any room for him. But to me, if you've got a judicial need, the room would somehow, I think, have been materialized 2 years ago. Suddenly we have a burning need, and we're talking in this very same committee with many of us, the same people, about not one but two new people. And
There's an inconsistency of factual data here that confuses me, and I'm uneasy, and I will not vote for moving it out, even at the subcommittee under these circumstances.
Okay, well.
Budget.
That's a further discussion. There is objection, so let's have a roll call on the amendment.
Trustee Judy?
No.
Helen? Jeremiah?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Jordan?
Aye. Five votes.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Smith?
I move the bill to the full committee of the DPAC recommendation.
Okay, Representative Smith moves House Bill 2189 as amended to the full committee with the DPAC recommendation. Is there a discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Judy?
No.
Helen? Jeremiah?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Jordan?
Aye. Passes. Okay, we'll move on to House Bill 2206. Chair would move that House Bill 2206 be tabled. Non-debatable, call the roll.
Trustee Judy?
Aye.
Helen?
Aye.
Jeremiah?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Jordan?
Aye. Passes. Okay, we're back at House Bill 2011. June?
Okay. Language under access to adoption records. It says the document sealed under ORS 432-415, which requires the state registrar to seal adoption records, may be opened by the state registrar only upon an order of a court of competent jurisdiction. Now, that's not very informative. That's all kinds of things, like who can petition the court and so on. But what you could do with court records in general, if the records less than 75 years old, which are sealed by court order, except that such records may be opened upon order of a court of competent jurisdiction, then presumably you would still have to search the statute in particular cases for procedures to request a court order.
Well, you could say except as authorized by law or otherwise ordered by law. Could you cover it both ways?
Okay, the problem I have with except as otherwise provided by law is that it would read the following: public records is exempt from disclosure. Oh no, that's okay, yeah. All right, except as otherwise provided by law, or
stylistically speaking, the amendment or proposed amendment should read records less than 75 years old, which were sealed by court order, except upon order of a court of competent jurisdiction or as otherwise provided by law.
Okay, now the only question is, does that make it sound as though if they're more than 75 years old, a court of competent jurisdiction can order them still to remain exempt from disclosure? And I suppose that's again a question about the inherent powers of the court.
I think might do well to put a period at the end of court order and start with a separate sentence. Such records may.
Okay.
I mean, it's getting too convoluted.
Okay, we haven't made a motion yet. Just with Mason, if you like to do the honor. What's going to take?
Yeah.
The chair would move adoption of the amendment entitled House Bill 2011 redraft. just for, then we'll amend that.
Okay.
Okay. Is there objection? Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing that, it's ordered. So now, we need to have an yes language change.
Period. After order. Such records may be disclosed upon order of a court of competent jurisdiction or as otherwise provided by law.
Okay. The chair would move the adoption of the amendment as outlined by staff. Is there discussion?
Can I have it repeated, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, read that one more time.
Okay, there'll be a period after order. Such records may be disclosed upon order of a court of competent jurisdiction or as otherwise provided by law.
After sub 2 and line 17. Okay. And there'd be a semicolon at that.
Yes.
That would refer to section 2 only.
Right.
Two only.
That would be on line, well, that would be after the end of line 17. Mm-hmm. And then a semicolon after that.
The further discussion of proposed amendment. Is there objection to the proposed amendment? The hearing now is ordered. Is there a motion on the bill as amended? Substantial amount.
Move to the full committee recommendation that be forwarded to the assembly's recommendation be passed as amended.
Okay, Representative Fromeyer's move that House Bill 2011 is amended to send to the full committee with the D-Pass recommendation. Let me restate the motion. Representative Fromeyer moves that House Bill 2011 as amended be included in the growth to send to the full committee with the D-Pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Not to call the roll.
You have to understand it. Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay. I think that completes our agenda. Is there further business to come before the committee? Okay.
Agenda for the work session the full committee is on Friday.
No, I think that you and I need to talk about that.
I will not be here Friday.
Is there any further business to come before the subcommittee? If not, we're in the journal.
Right. Yeah, I.